I'm going to do it again. Get your praise hymnals and turn to hymn number 330, and we'll start with that hymn, one of my favorites, Moment by Moment, and wants to listen to the words of it as we read. You go along with it and read it. Hymn number 330, Moment by Moment. Listen to what this song writer or this hymn writer wrote. But so true, I think we can all identify with it in our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, dying with Jesus, by death reckoned mine, living with Jesus, a new life divine. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine, moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Never a trial that he is not there, never a burden that he doth not bear, never a sorrow that he doth not share, moment by moment, I'm under his care. Never a weakness that he doth not feel, never a sickness that he cannot heal, moment by moment, in woe or in weal, Jesus my Savior abides with me still. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. So we understand, generally speaking, that the Lord loves us with an everlasting love. And we say that, and we say the words, and I think we do have some understanding about it. But as we're creatures that forget, we need to be reminded from time to time that of his divine care for us. It's moment by moment, it says, and that's captivating, and it's scripturally sound, this hymn that he writes, because it's so true. God has devoted his time. We might say it like that, but we don't want to get the picture that he's a man having to do that. But this is his love, the love that Brother Lamar was talking about, that it's the very same. It never fluctuates. It's always the same. It's hard for us to embrace that or imagine that, because our love does this, doesn't it? It's kind of got an ebb and flow. We might get mad to somebody. We don't love them as much as we, you know. We say, oh, I still love you, but you know our feelings are hurt. So we don't show that love, and it seems like it diminishes that love a little bit. God's love is nothing like that. No. It can't be affected by our actions. If he says in his word that he has loved us with an everlasting love, we need to embrace that and understand it for what it's saying, and not try to humanize it or break it down in men's terms, but understand it in the divinity of God as best we can. And we don't know the mind of God, but God has revealed in his word plenty to show us the expression of his love. One is, Spurgeon said in John 3:16, the most expressive word in all the Bible is the so, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved, this expressive love, remember now, it never does diminish, it never does weaken. Everything about God is the best that it can be. It's not going to get any better. He's all God, and it will never diminish. All that he's done in creation, all that he does in our individual lives, all the graces that are bestowed upon us, does in no wise diminish him in one iota of his love or his strength, his wisdom, his power, his might. All of those maintain the same, and they will never ever diminish. And our minds just blow when we try to understand that. But with a little understanding we can get from that is a great, great blessing when we think about the care that God has given to you and me as His people, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Lamar touched on so many things this morning, really set up what I was going to say today. He has a love for all of His creation, and we call that common grace that goes out. It rains on the just and the unjust, but it also blesses on the just and the unjust too. God has that kind of love and care for all of His creation, but He has a special love for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about that love, now we think about God, and it never does diminish. In my disobedience, if I'm His, God loves me so much that He's going to chasten me to make me behave myself, but His love is never diminished. As a matter of fact, that's magnified to me, that He would not just turn me loose and say, you know what, you're not worth loving. I'm just going to let you go on back to the mire and do what you wanted to do. But He loves me so much, and that love has captivated me so much that He won't allow me to do that. But rather, again, His love being made manifest to me is through discipline or whatever I need, the chastening that get me back in the right way. It all comes under the care that God has for you and for me. Now, we can say that God cares for me. I like to say that. I like to understand that. The Bible says that clearly. And just using the text, I've used it a million times, it seemed like, in 1 Peter. He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Simple words, aren't they? Casting all your cares upon Him. Calling us, Peter is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling us to do something, and that something encompasses every aspect of your life and my life when He uses the word all in this particular passage of Scripture. Casting all your care upon Him. Christ said, I'm the burden bearer. I not only came to save you from your sins, but I've also come to bear every weight, every burden, everything that invades your life. I don't want you to try to bear it yourself. You used to have to do that before Christ. And we made a mess out of things. Yeah. And we did the best we can. We had to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps because that's all we had to pull ourselves up by. Without Christ in our life. But now Christ has come and saved me. He said, now all things have become new. And this is the new way you, when you're stressed, when you're depressed, when things come in your life that are good or bad, indifferent, I want you to bring all of those to me. All of them to me, not just some of them. I haven't created you to live apart from me. Christ said we're in union with Him. That means that we're one with Him. If we're one with Him, then there's nothing that should go on in our life that's outside of Christ. Amen. He called us to be one with Him. If He said, I'm your burden bearer, Christ is not a liar. He's our burden bearer. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I get that scripture in every Sunday. It just doesn't matter. I'm going to get it in. I like that scripture. And you should like that scripture. He's telling us to bring it and come and leave it with Him and take His yoke upon you because it's a proven yoke. Remember, He was tempted with every temptation known unto man. Was He successful? Yes. Victorious. God said, I accept that sacrifice. He did everything that I sent Him to do. And so He has made a way for us, even when our life is burdened, to have that burden lighter through the Lord Jesus Christ as He bears it for us. So He didn't create us, as some think. I talked to some people, and it seems like, well, God saved you, and now He gave you a mind of your own, and you just own your little way, and you do the best you can, and He'll come and get you when it's time to get you. That's not how God created us. He didn't create us and put Christ in us at the new birth and then withdraw from us and coming back later on to get us. No, it's a continual thing.
Amen.
Christ said, I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. That's enough. If we're in here, he's talking about him and everything that encompasses our life. And so he tells us here, casting all your care upon him, for he, we want to see exactly when we're talking about he, God, cares for you. What does that really mean? When we get down to it, what are we really talking about? And I think it goes back again, and I just can't get away from it. I'm a sovereign grace preacher. That's all there is to it. I believe it's understanding the sovereignty of God, who God is, that enables us to do this more than we do. When I'm really convinced, now it's one thing for me to know and say, oh, well, God's a sovereign God. I talk to people all the time, say he's a sovereign God, and they don't no more believe it than the man in the moon. They say it. They don't understand what sovereignty means. They don't understand that he's sovereign in every aspect of our lives, and so they don't understand it. They'll go on and agree with me with a lot of things, but then they say it's all in the hands of man, you know, and this, that, and the other. Had a preacher today tell me my theology this morning is all wrong. He didn't believe in election predestination, but it's foolish. If anybody believes that, just don't understand the Bible. So I don't understand the Bible, so y'all just have to study your Bible more. But anyway, you know, you pray for somebody like that. They don't understand the Bible. But, you know, I got a little bent about it, but then I took a few steps, and I come back, told my wife. I said, you know why he doesn't understand it? God hadn't showed it to him. You know why we have an understanding of that? God showed it to you. God revealed it to you. What makes it the difference? We go back to what Paul said. Isn't it by the grace of God I am what I am?
Right.
That doesn't take away our responsibility to try to understand everything, but I'm not going to understand anything unless the Holy Spirit of God reveals it to me, and that's a sovereign God. Casting all your care upon him, for he, that God, the one Brother Lamar just read in Psalms, God is. That's the God we're talking about. And I'm not talking about no little g God. I'm talking about the God of the universe. He's intimately involved in our lives. And we need to keep that in the forefront of our mind and not on the afterburners of our minds. We keep it on the forefront of our mind. I can guarantee you life gets better. Didn't say it's going to not be difficult. We're going to have difficulties. Jesus said you're going to have troubles. But he also said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Same Jesus said that. He said we're not exempt from life's trials, but I think rather subject to them as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because now we've been equipped with everything that we need to be able to bear up under the trials of life. There's not a tool that's left in the tool shed. We've been given everything that we need for life and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're all true and tried and proven to be what God said they were and to give us rest and peace. And that's what we desire in life. As much as anything, I would think, is peace in our lives. Nothing worse than disruption all the time. We went through the spell several times in our life. A lot of disruption. And it affects you if you allow it to affect you. What I'm talking to you about this morning is what you understand, but how do we keep that from disrupting our lives is what I want you to understand again or anew. Casting all your cares upon him, for he, the God of the universe that loves you with an everlasting love, cares for you. So he's specifically bringing it right now. He cares for his people in a special way. Well, I like what Peter says when he brings it right down to Joey. He cares for me. And he cares for you. And every believer he cares for in exactly the same way. That's why he says, cast all your care upon him. Who better to care for you than Almighty God? Who knows everything about you. And so what our problem is as believers, and the reason you come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, is you want to hear the Word of God. You want to be reminded of the God that we serve. You want to be reminded that this is the way, not the way I've gone, but this is the way. This is what I need to incorporate in my life. I need to be reminded. Why? Because I have a tendency to forget. We struggle. We have Romans 7 in our lives, not as an excuse, but as a reason to understand why I need the Word of God so much in my life. It needs to captivate me. I need to understand who this God is. And when I have a firm foundation of who God is, these truths become very effectual in my life. Amen. God's not changing. I fluctuate. I'm all over the place. And you are too, because I know that James says we're men of light passion. Yeah. So I'm not, you're not hiding anything from me. I know. You're like I am. And so it may not be my particular sin or a particular besetting sin, but you got something you're dealing with. I'm telling you where to take it this morning. You take it to Almighty God in the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He cares for you. And I'm going to read some things here, and it was just so rich and so good, that's why I'm going to read it. I wished I could remember it, so I wouldn't need these notes. But I can't, so I'm going to read it to you. He said, the Christian's life is very much made of cares and comforts. Cares spring from earth, comfort comes from heaven. Cares prove him to be a sinner, holy comforts prove him a believer. Cares flow in from a variety of quarters, true comfort from only one. Cares come naturally, but comfort comes supernaturally. You see that? Cares come naturally. In the world in which we live, naturally the things that we deal with come to us, but comforts, a comfort that we need to overcome these things, is supernatural through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are sure to have cares, but shall we have comfort? This depends on God's grace, which gives it, and our faith, which receives it. Cares must be cast on our God, or they will prove a burden too heavy for us. They will depress, bewilder, and make us wretched. But here's our comfort. We have always one to care for us, and the very one who of all others we would wish to do so. The Lord cares for you. The Lord God of creation. The Lord in whom there's no changing, no turning. The one in whose glorious power has been made manifest day by day, moment by moment, is the one that cares for you and for me. He asked the question, God cares for whom? Who is it that God cares for? And certainly we know it's for believers when we're talking about this particular love, this everlasting, never changing, never leaving love that God has particularly for His people or believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. For you, believer, who is born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. For you, believer, who is a stranger and pilgrim on the earth, as all your fathers were. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, I think we have an understanding of that. We're getting older. We understand when we were young some things that we did, some things and desires that we have. We don't have those same desires anymore. Because we're really coming into the place where we're on the other side of the hill. Death's imminent. I mean, it's coming. We know we're getting closer. I've lived 67 years. I don't expect to live 67 more years. Don't have a desire to live 67 more years on this earth. Because I found out by the grace of God that I am a stranger and a pilgrim in a place that's not my home. And it's not your home. And we need to quit fixing it up like it is our home. This is not it. God said there's a better place. And Jesus come to save us from our sins with that everlasting love that I'm talking about, that constant care that He brings, enlightens us to understand this is not the finality of any of it. This is just a stage in which we're passing through. And we need to get it in our minds that that's exactly what that is. And when we do, your hope grows brighter. Because I guarantee you, it's better over yonder. No more weeping, no more crying, no tears, no sorrow, perfect health. And we will enjoy the pleasure of worshiping and praising God in a perfect praise. We do our best when we sing your hymns. And I know that's what you do when you engage in hymn singing. We're honoring God and we're praising Him by the words that we sing. That's why we're careful to give sound songs. We don't just sing anything. We're accountable to sing what we sing. And so we try to praise God in our imperfection. But over yonder, it'll be perfect. We won't even need a hymnal. We won't need notes to preach. We won't have to preach because we want to know what we need to know in the presence of God. And we will simply praise Him forevermore. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's our privilege that God has given us by His amazing grace. And it gets brighter and brighter as we understand this is not our home, but over yonder is our real home. We're just renting a place right now. That's our home. God's grace is what brings believers into that. For you believers who are as a stranger and pilgrim on earth as all your fathers were, God cares for whom? For you, believer, who is persecuted by the world and hated by all men for your Savior's sake. For you, believer, to whom Christ is precious as He is to everyone who really believes in Him. For you, believer, who is worried and harassed by Satan, who as a roaring lion goes about seeking whom he may devour. We go back to being strangers and pilgrims in a strange land on the face of the earth. Ain't gonna have no roaring lion nipping at our heels no more when we get over yonder. So we look at it in the Word of God in perspective, and we think of age, we think of 100 years. That's a long time to be alive. That's just a drop in the bucket when we talk about eternity. Amen. And he says, really, when we read the Word of God, it always talks about our time here is what?
Short.
Life's but a vapor. James even goes further than that. He won't even put his fingers up like that. He'll give you something you can't even see. He said, life's but a vapor. You're just here for a second and you're gone. See. And we as believers have a hope because this Almighty God that I'm talking about, the sovereign God of the universe, has particularly bestowed upon you and me a particular love through the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a hope. And we experience the constant care of God. But I can't really experience that as much as I need to if I don't keep it on the forefront of my mind that God is intimately involved in every aspect of my life. Now, when I think like that, my faith grows. I'm built up in my most holy faith. And God is as real as He's ever been to me when I keep these truths in the forefront of my mind. That's the trick, isn't it? Boy, our minds are just little old weak things. But now the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. But that goes back to exercising our faith, doesn't it? Realizing that, embracing that, walking in that, realizing that God's constant care is always upon us. He's talking about believers. God cares for whom? He cares for believers. For you, believer, who is placed in humble circumstances, being numbered with the poor of this world, for you, believer, who is compassed about with so many cares and who enjoys so few comforts, who is surprised at the fiery trials which try you as though some strange thing had happened unto you, God's care extends to every Christian, the young and the aged, the weak and the strong, the poor and the wealthy, the doubting and the confident. Boy, I'm glad he put that in there. The doubting and the confident. Because we have times that we doubt. Don't we have times that our faith is weak? Brother Lamar touched on today about the love of God. Weak faith, medium faith, strong faith. Guard that came to Jesus, said, my son's sick. I'll go there. Jesus, you don't have to go there. Just speak the word. And others are so weak, they just don't know. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I prayed that prayer a lot of times, not being able to say nothing else. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And that's as powerful a prayer as any that you might enumerate for an hour on time if it's from the heart and desperation, calling, crying out. That doesn't affect the love of God. It's still there. My perception has narrowed if I have weak faith. My perception is widened if I have great faith. And you see how important it is that we as believers believe. That's what John says in 1 John 5 towards the end. As all this is written that believers might believe. Well, that sounds almost repetitious, but it's not. It's encouraging us as saying, believers, exercise your faith. Believe what's true. And that's what we're talking about this morning. A simple thing, something that's really profound if we keep it where it needs to be. Casting all you care upon Him, for He, God, cares for you. God, and we might even say it like this, it's not the way it comes out. God takes time out of the universe, specifically, to put His grace on me and on you. But He doesn't really take time out of the universe. He does that with everybody, all the time, at the same time. With the same amount of love for you and me and every other believer that has come to put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't diminish. It doesn't weaken. So we can be weak or strong, the love of God is still present. And the Bible says, cast all you care on Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you. We see that He cares for us, that He sent His only begotten Son to the world to die for my sin and for your sin, that He might save us and bring us to a better place, to His honor and to His glory. God cares for whom? The young and the aged, the weak and the strong, the poor and the wealthy, the doubting and the confident believer. He cares for you. Turn, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians. And this is going to sound strange, but you'll see where I'm going when I get there. All of it sounds strange to me sometimes when I'm getting it up, but it all kind of comes together. 2 Thessalonians in the 2nd chapter. When I start reading this, it's not going to sound like it has anything to do with casting all you care upon Him, for He cares for you. But by the time I get through with it, you'll see where I'm going. Many times Jesus had to paint a black picture that they might see the brightness of the glory of grace. Yeah. And that's exactly what the Bible does for us. It shows us sometimes a deplorable situation, but at the end of it, it would give us hope when we began to see the grace of God and the love of God being made manifest. It's talking about the latter days or the last time, and my theology there is not complete. So we're just going to read over some things. But I want you to get the picture and get the blackness of this picture, because we're going to read through verses 1 through 12, and there is no hope. And then we're going to get to verse 13, and we're going to see some hope. So again, Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica, he said, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." Now, he said he's coming. He ain't come yet. So we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of years, still hadn't come. But he's coming, because he promised that he would come. Paul's teaching a particular lesson here. So he said, "Let no one deceive you by any means." Some of them had got the idea that Christ was coming right then. They'd quit working. They'd sat down and said, "You know what? I'm just going to sit on my stool. I'm just going to wait for him to come." And he gets on to him at the end of it to say, "If you don't work, you don't eat." They get up, said, "You work. We don't wait until Jesus comes," as some said, Antinomians say, "but we work until Jesus comes." Why? Because we want to. We do it for the glory of God, not because of salvation itself, but because salvation is being worked in us. So he's kind of getting on to them. They kind of got a bunch of people just kind of stood around and said, "Well, we'll just wait until he comes." And he said, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Talking about the Antichrist and Satan and all of his wondrous workings at the end. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Even in Paul's day, this evil, this oppression, it's already at work. "Only who has now restrained will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming." That should set them at ease quite a bit. He may come, but God's going to take him out. It's not going to be a problem. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish." This is what's sad. This is what's dark. "Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason," this sounds a lot like Romans 1 here, "and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So, we see a dark, dark cloud of people here that had not been saved because they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Thank God he doesn't stop there. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord." Again, I'm getting to this, casting all you care upon him, for he cares for you. I want you to see what he has done for you as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see what the God of the universe, the almighty, powerful God that we worship, has so laid out to ensure your salvation that you're going to get to where God says you're going to get to. I want you to see how intimately he is involved in these doctrinal things that we're talking about here how they infiltrate your life through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to give us hope, to make us understand that God has a divine care upon you that's never going away. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. You're going to see why we're bound to give thanks. We're bound to give thanks. We give thanks freely, but the Bible says that we're bound to give thanks. Amen. He's created us to give thanks. And so we give it freely, though we're bound to give it. That just comes out of a grateful heart that's thankful that we're saved by the grace of God. And we know that we shouldn't be saved by the grace of God. We know what we are as human beings. We know we're depraved, we're deplorable, that we've been haters of God. And I know my sin, you know your sin, and we say we're not worthy. And you're correct in that. You're not worthy. But God has deemed you worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we're bound now to give thanks to that God. Thanks to the God that we're talking about in 1 Peter, for He cares for you. That's who we're giving thanks to. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God, look at what God has done with this love and this care for us. Because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God the Father, who has loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And in verse 3 he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and then we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Some would have you believe God saved everybody. The Bible said all men don't have faith.
That's right.
Can't be saved without faith. Then what he says in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Brother, we could go back and preach and preach and preach and preach on some different doctrines here. This is how much God, the God that we're talking about that cares for you, cares for you. He says that He chose us from the beginning, and to make sure that the beginning has the correct end, He has sanctified us by the Spirit, and through belief in the truth, He has called you by the gospel that you might know the real Jesus to whom you're coming to. For the obtaining of the Lord Jesus. And then he says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, it's all by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I want you to see who the He is. It's Almighty God and what He has done. We would say He went to an awful lot of trouble to do this. And for us, it would be an awful lot of trouble to even attempt to do something that we could not ever do. But for God, it was no trouble at all.
Amen.
He spoke it and he thought it whenever he thought it. And this is the way it's fleshed out in our lives. And God, because God is who he is, has ensured that this is the way of salvation that will not fail. Remember, God's love is everlasting. It's never failing. It's never ending. This is the God who says, cast all of it on me because I care for you. That God. Not some God that some people preach that's weak and can't find his way around and can't save nobody unless they let him. I don't believe in a God like that. The Bible doesn't believe in a God like that. I'm sitting before you the God of the Bible, and this is the one to whom we're to serve and the one that we believe in. We'll stop there. We're getting late. Let me just close with this hymn. I had two. I got another one here. Because it's good. Hymn number 412 says, what a friend we have in Jesus. We sing this all the time. But it's good to just read the words and let them sink in. Because I believe people who write scriptures or hymns like this base it upon scriptural truths. Or I wouldn't be sharing it with you. So I believe it's sound when he says what he says. And Christ says, I am your friend. This is the same God that I'm talking about. You know, because it's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're one and the same. I can't explain that one. I just can't. I don't have anything to compare it to. I know what the Word of God says. That's what he is, and that's who I believe he is. So the hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus. Listen to the words again. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. We like that, all of our sins, but sometimes we forget about grief. But he wants all of it. So casting all you care on him, for he cares for you. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. He doesn't leave anything out. He doesn't leave anything in life out when he wrote that hymn. And it's true, all of it's true, because it's based on the Word of God. Jesus says, cast all your care on me, for I care for you. God help you to understand that. God help us all to keep that in the forefront of our mind for his honor and for his glory.